house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and let our musicians be seated if you'd like to. Might make sure that microphone is off too. Those batteries. We're going to try to remember to turn those off at the end of the services. I think that's why we've been having dead batteries. We forget to turn them off. But praise the Lord. How many come expecting to hear from the Lord today?
Amen.
Amen. I believe the Lord will give us. He loves to meet with His people. As excited as we are to meet the Lord, He is even more excited to meet us, to meet man. And to me, it's just so amazing how someone so great could choose anybody that He could fellowship with, but He chose us. You know, He chose us before the foundation of the world. And I want to speak to you on a thought this morning. The names are manifesting. The names are manifesting. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 19. And she will have these on the multimedia, Lord willing. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption and the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer, if you don't mind. Let's just bow our heads to Him. Heavenly Father, we love You so much, and we want to thank You for this opportunity to be here. I thank You for Your presence that's already among us, Father. Lord, Your word says, where two or three are gathered in My name, I will be in their midst, Lord. And we're thankful for that, Lord. We ask You to come and help me to get out of the way, that You could speak through me. And Lord, may each heart not just hear it with their intellect, Lord, but the seed of God on the inside, have that faith on the inside that will grab this word, Lord, and run with it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You can be seated. The whole creation groans for the manifestation of the sons of God. Say amen.
Amen.
Wednesday night, I was getting things ready for the service, and we've been dealing with these cobwebs, or not cobwebs, the dirt daubers that will try to come around, little waspers that will come around, and I noticed whenever we went to the ladies' room, there was four or five inside there, and I said, well, I'm going to take care of them, and I did, and I was spraying some stuff on them, and well, there was one of them that was bigger than all the other ones, and I remember when I sprayed that poison on him, I seen all the little ones were falling down, and he was fighting with everything that was in him to try to live. And there was something inside. I could tell he was a wasper that had been through a lot of battles. Had been through stuff before that people probably tried to kill him before, but he just kept pressing on. There was something inside of him. And something inside me couldn't help but feel sorry for this creation because they don't want to be like this. They don't want to be in this situation to where they are in a fallen condition. This world is in a fallen condition. And that little wasper, he didn't realize it, but he was trying to fight and wipe his face and try to get the poison off of him. And he didn't realize that no matter how hard he was going to try, there was nothing that was, he was going to die. And it was a reality. And it just hit home to me of how the whole creation groans within itself because they are in a fallen condition just like we are. Yeah. Could you imagine how one day the lion will be able to lie down with the lamb? But you know, right now, that lion is a predator. That's his means of living, is he's got to kill. He's got to do these things. The coyote that you go down the street, you drive down, you see the coyotes. And people hate the coyote. Because the coyote will go out and get the calf. The coyote will go get the chickens. The coyote will do these things. So it's a constant hunt for them. Well, people will shoot them. They'll kill the wasp. They'll kill the coyote. You know, they'll look at them as a fierce thing, but they are in a fallen condition that makes them be that way. To me, it's such a phenomenal thing to think that how man in himself, he is a beast by nature. He's a beast automatically. You're born a beast to where you will automatically try to do the things to serve yourself. But it takes God to transform you. Well, you'll no longer have that beast nature, but a dove nature, a lamb nature on the inside of you. And it's a supernatural thing. And you know, you can take horses, you can take cows, you can take dogs, and you can take these things and you can train them. And you can take the horse and use the word, as we call, break the horse. to where the horse that once was a wild Mustang and you can train him, then he'll still be a horse. He'll always still be that Mustang and what he is. Man tries to take that onto himself to where he tries to train himself to be a son of God. He'll try to break himself to be a son of God. But that won't work. Just training yourself to be a son of God don't work. Just trying to break yourself won't work. It takes a transformation power on the inside where God will not just break or train, but God will literally change your nature on the inside and make you a new creation. There's nothing that you will ever see more supernatural than a new birth where someone has truly been transformed from the inside out. I want to go to Revelation chapter 5 and start in verse 1. It says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open the book and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, 'Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof.' And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, that we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels, and about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000s times 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, as such are in the sea, all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto them that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" These creatures saw something that made them excited. Because you know, whenever he said, they said, "Who is worthy to come and take this book?" There's been sacrifices down through the ages. There's been lambs that have been sacrificed. There have been people that have labored in tears of moving, looking towards the move of God. And maybe, perhaps, many times they didn't quite understand the whole picture because they didn't see the whole picture. All they knew is they had a love for God. They had a desire to be with God. They had a desire. They were trying to walk in all that they knew, but they didn't know it. But they were fulfilling the plan of redemption and not even realizing. Brother Tony, I'm tipping a smile on your face. You've been meditating on the same thing, but I'm telling you what, God is mindful. These people down through the ages, down through the creation, didn't realize that they were depending on this moment right here. Because if there was not somebody that was able to come up and claim that book, everything has been done in vain. Catch the reality of it, that whenever Job was doing this sacrifice for his children, if the Lamb did not claim this book, if there was not somebody found worthy to take possession of this book, every bit of it was in vain. It don't matter how many healings took place, it would be in vain, because one thing mattered. Can he take the book? Can he claim the book? Because I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, That is the revelation of this hour. Is that book and our name on that book. You say, amen. Every burnt offering, every prayer that was ever made was depending on this book. I'll read a quote with you. Now the Lamb in the time of intercessory back here, he knew that there were names in there that was put in there from the foundation of the world. And as long as them names have never been manifested on earth as yet, he had to stay there as intercessor. Do you get it? Perfectly predestination, see? All right, he had to stay there because he came to die for those that God had ordained to eternal life, see? By his foreknowledge. He saw them not by his own will. His will was that none should perish, but by his foreknowledge, he knew who would and who would not. Therefore, as long as there was one name had never yet been declared on earth, Christ had to stay there as an intercessor to take care of that name. But as soon as that final name had been splashed in that Clorox bleach, then his intercessory days was over. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's holy be holy still. See? And he leaves the sanctuary, and then it becomes a judgment seat. Woe unto them that are without Christ at that time. The seven spirits of God are actually seven anointings for seven church ages. How many believes that? The messenger for each age caught the mystery of God and preached that message, and it sounded a war. And the elect of that hour would actually catch that revelation, and they would actually be sealed away. But they that rejected it would be brought under a temporary judgment. And these seven spirits, these were seven anointings. And I know there's a lot of popping up here. I'm trying to keep it from doing that. Probably moving too much up here or something. I don't know. Maybe it's my heart beating. The seven spirits of God were seven anointing. And each messenger had a particular message except for the seventh messenger, which his message was to take all of the mysteries that had fallen through the ages and bring them all together for a great declaration on earth. Is that right? He had a ministry and his hour to do these things. Matthew 17:10 says, and his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake of them of John the Baptist. Let me ask you something. Did John the Baptist come back and restore all things? Did John the Baptist do anything? It was actually talking about a future work that was going to take place, a future ministry that was going to take place. And these people saw that. Are y'all hearing that up here? That's distracting on me, so I can't imagine how distracting it is to you guys. Is that better? Okay. Praise the Lord. I remember to always put that for no one. This second Elias restored the mysteries of God and introduced the bride to Jesus in the form of the spoken word. He was gathering the bride together from a many-membered body, and when he was worthy to come and take the book, it was a declaration of the seven church ages of the mystery that they believed. Imagine the saints down in Paul's age, Irenaeus' age, and Luther's day. Imagine them whenever they hear the same message that we have right now. That's a declaration that everything that they walked under was absolutely the truth. Because this ministry, that's what it was. He reached out and took the truths out of each age of all these things and brought it to a light today where we see that this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. I don't know if these scriptures are known for us, but I think it's good we read them. Malachi 4, 5, and 6. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. John the Baptist didn't do this. This is specifically for our young people. John the Baptist did not do this. This was something that was going to take place in our hour, to where they were going to turn the hearts back to the faith of the fathers, or our faith. I'm going to ask you a question, not just young people, everybody in the building, everybody under the sound waves. Has your heart, has the faith of your heart been turned back to the original faith of the fathers? Because just as sure as I said, if every sacrifice that's been done, if Jesus did not claim that book, it's all in vain. The mission is to turn the faith of our heart back to the original faith of the fathers. And that's what we need. Let's go to Revelation. I know there's a lot of scriptures here. Revelation chapter 10, starting in verse 1. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as the pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are therein, the earth and the things that are in are, and the sea and the things therein, and that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared it to his servants, the prophets. These things were supposed to be a secret. They couldn't even write about them until this last time. And there was a ministry that was going to come that had an anointing upon that ministry. And brothers and sisters, I can't make this clear enough. We have to have God's right hand, the star in his right hand, on our life to have life in this hour. Is that right? You can't expect to walk like the rest of the world and listen to what they listen to and expect to have rapturing faith. God has a provided way of how he's going to redeem the church. God put the seven spirits in the church, and that spirit, we have to receive that spirit of what God gave in this hour. Because if you don't do it, you're going just like a denominational church. We got to have that faith, that spirit, because when we receive that spirit, that is what anoints your faith. Brother Branham talks about how that we're supposed to have faith for a body change, and you ain't got faith for simple divine healing right now. And we think you're just going to stumble in all of a sudden. Brother Branham says, we got to get these things right. When you're in the Word, we got to get under that anointing, under the message, where we have the revelation. I'm talking about the names are manifesting. The intercessor, like we just read, Jesus as intercessor will stay there until every name has come manifest. What are we waiting on? The rapture? That last name to come manifest. I'm here to tell you, and the names are manifesting. There'll be 10,000s and 10,000s in the bride, absolutely. But 500 here, 500 here, 500 here. It will be so few that go in the rapture, the church won't know nothing about it. I want to ask you something. If this church, God forgive me, I don't want it to be this way. But if there's one person or two people that will take a rapture out of this church, what would be the possibility that we'd go to church just like normal, thinking, I wish that preacher had something, and realize, don't even realize, you missed the rapture already and didn't even know it. Because I'm telling you what, there's going to be a very few that take this rapture. But if your name's in that book, you can't miss it. Because the Lamb will be interceding with you until your name is manifest. You got to have faith in it and believe in it. It's a revelation to you. My name is on that book. I don't have to worry whether I'm bride or not. I know I'm bride. I don't have to worry whether I'm going to make it or not. I know I'm going to make it, because he can't leave until I'm ready. And I want to get ready. Because I'm here to tell you, God will drag you through a knothole backwards if he's got to. I want to go the easy way. I don't like pain. I smacked my finger about 3 months ago and it still ain't healed up. I want to avoid that. I want to go easy. Right. Say amen. Yeah. Some people want to go hard. I was talking to somebody the other day, talking about women today. I don't understand them. Women will want a A guy that looks cool, got his hat on backwards, got all the things, and talk dirty to him, make him feel like a low-down, dirty mat. He won't provide for them. He won't meet their needs. He won't do that. And she'll think he's just the hottest thing in the world, and she'll want to love him and all this stuff. It's absolute insanity. But you'll have another guy that goes to work, takes care of himself, he cleans, he provides, he does all things, and she don't want him. She wants the guy that'll beat her, tear her down, make her feel like she's nothing, feel like she's worthless. That's the one the woman goes to. You think that's crazy? Look at the church. They've got somebody that will beat them down, tear them down, make them feel like they're nothing, but make them ruin their life, do all these things. Talk about Satan. And they'll want to go the way of the world. Whenever you've got Jesus Christ standing in your midst, he's ready to meet every need that you have. He's willing to provide for you, give all the joy that you have, give you everything you need. But people will want the world rather than follow the word.
Amen.
They do in the natural, they do in the church. Why in the world would you want to go with that guy over there that's going to tear you down and leave you like nothing?
Right.
I want to serve the Lord. Amen. Brother Branham talked about how he drove one time about the two different men. He drove a heart. He drove a heart on this side and said, put a dove in it. He put another heart and he put a snake in it. He said, and you got the dove. He said, it'll bring forth love, peace, joy, long-suffering. But you've got that snake in the other heart and it will take you to the world every single time. And the reason is, you're just trying to train yourself on the flesh. But it's got to come to a point where that nature on the inside of that heart has got to change from a snake to a dove.
Amen.
And when you change that, you're not having to train yourself.
Right.
I don't have to go out and take a sheep and say, listen, Mr. Sheep, I'm going to teach you how to say. I'm going to teach you how to be a sheep. You got to say bah. You got to, man, you got to push wool out. You got to do this. You got to do that. You don't do that to a sheep. That's nonsense. Just let it be a sheep and feed him. And brothers and sisters, there's two things that's missing. One of them, people got to have a new birth. And the other one, you got to eat. That's right. You want to bear wool? Eat. You don't have to put on anything. You don't have to make fake anything. You got to eat. Eat the word. Eat the word. How am I going to be ready for the rapture, Brother Daniel? Eat the word. That's it. Eat the word on a daily basis where you're praying and meditating on the word, and all of a sudden, peace and joy and long-suffering and all of these things, it just comes out.
Right.
You're not having to push it. It just comes out.
Right.
I would that we could eat. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Their names were written on that book, and I'm going to say your name was written on that book before the foundation of the world. Your name. And I cannot say this enough. He is going to be interceding with you until you make it.
Yeah.
But the way you're going to do that is you have to be under the light of your message of your day, the word of your day, meditating on that, and that will cook the greenness out of you. And stop looking at yourself and keep looking at this word.
Yeah.
And wherever that word goes, you walk with the light. Even as he's in the light. On a daily basis, you're walking with the light. Brother Brim says this. He said, we found in the studying of the scripture that the messenger to the age come right at the end of the age every time. Paul come at the end of the age. We find out that Irenaeus come at the end of the age. Martin, end of the age. Luther, end of the Catholic age. Wesley, at the Lutheran age. Pentecostal, at the end of the sanctification to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And at the end of the Pentecostal age, we are supposed to receive, according to the word, as God helped me tonight to show you through here, that we are to see and receive a messenger that will take all those loose ends out there and reveal the whole secret of God for the rapturing of the church.
Amen.
And then there is coming forth seven mysterious thunders that's not even written at all. That's right. And we believe that through those seven thunders will be revealed at the last days in order to get the bride together for rapturing faith. Because what we got right now, we wouldn't be able to do it. There's something. We've got to step further. We can't have enough faith for divine healing hardly. We've got to have enough faith to be changed in a moment and be swept up out of this earth. And we'll find that after a while, the Lord willing, find where it is written. God has given the seven thunders. You see, they say amen. God is giving the seven thunders. God has given the Spirit to us to give you a rapturing faith.
Amen.
But in order to receive this rapturing faith, it's kind of like having a, I know this sounds silly, but can you imagine being in a football field out there and a guy's got to catch the football, and when he catches the football, the goal is to go on the other line and get a touchdown. Could you imagine somebody else throwing another football from the stadium and him catching that ball and saying, I got it. The real ball for the game is way over here. But they throw a ball to him and say, I got it. And he can run all the way in and he can get across the line and prance and say, I've got the touchdown. Praise God, I've got it. But the ball that God sent is way over there. It don't matter what you've got. And if you say, I've got the Holy Ghost, I'm shouting, I'm dancing. The word that was cast is way over here. And you've got to catch that word that God sent that will give you rapturing faith. And when you catch that word, catch that revelation, that's what's going to give you your body change. But a lot of people have got a different ball. They've got a different thing. They say, well, I've got it. What's God doing today? What's God doing right now in the revelation? I'm going to tell you, this bride worldwide, God speaks to that bride all at the same time. God will move to them. And they're going to be in sync. Now, they may not be thinking the exact same thing at the exact same moment, but I'm going to tell you, they're in sync with that spirit. And God has got a bride that's in sync with that, and we've got to have our eyes on the right ball. We got to be ready to catch that revelation whenever God's going to give us, because I want my body changed. I don't want to prolong this thing any further than I have to. See, man? As I was standing at the sink yesterday morning, my wife had, I used to take kids to school, but she took them for us. And we've been taking them because Elijah can't drive right now. Yeah, he will eventually, but this is Friday. I started to go, and I was going to do the dishes. I see a couple of dishes there. I said, I'm going to do the dishes here. And the Lord spoke to me while I was sitting there. I was writing just a couple of dishes there. And the Lord spoke to me and said, it will be just like this one moment. How that I will give you an unction to go to do something. And when you do that, he said, I'm going to drop something. And I'll tell you what, the Lord is dropping fellowship with me like you've never seen. Have you ever noticed that? How the Lord will lay it on your heart to do something, go a certain place. And then when you go, you feel the presence of God such a strong way. And God will begin to speak to your heart. It's because of a daily leading. The more we can learn to be led by the Spirit, the more God can speak to our hearts. I want to show you something. This is my notes, but just bear with me. Abraham was told, whenever he said, Abraham, go, I want you to depart from all your family, your kindred, all these things. I'm going to show you a nation. What's the first thing he did? He took Lot with him and built an altar. And then he said, I need God to come. I need God to speak to me because I'm in this journey. But you know what? God never would take him any further until he come to a point where Lot's herdsmen and his herdsmen were bickering at one another. He said, you know what? We can't do this no more. We got to separate. You choose right or left. I'll go the opposite direction. Lot said, all right, I'll take this place. It's got more green grass. I'll go this way. Abraham says, okay, I'll go that way. And the Lord took him right back to that same altar. The exact same altar where he left. And he'll go right back here. And then God spoke to him and said, okay, now we can continue our journey. God gives you a commission. God tells you something to do. And you say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go past it. I'll just go on. No, you won't either. You're going to have to go right back where you left. Make that right. And then you watch God start moving and progressing your life. You know what? People a lot of times will go, they'll start growing, and they will stop. And they'll never go any further. They'll stay right there. You know the reason a lot of times is? You've got to go right back to where you left God and make that right. Full obedience to the word of God entitles you to the token. Is that right?
Right.
Not having the full word, full obedience to the word entitled us to the token. And we need token. We need token life to where it is evident that I have received this blood in the manner that I need to. I have received this message. That's why they can never truly do the token until this hour, because the fullness of the word has been given to us in this hour. Amen. I got a long way to go. I just got to quit doing these rabbit trails. It was a mystery that down seven church ages, God would dispensate himself into seven spirits, revealing himself in simplicity. And while he's revealing himself in simplicity, he's interceding for those names inside that book. And the devil actually thought he had this one. And I want you to show you something. Satan, he actually thought he had it won whenever they were going to try to take Christ. Anytime God was going to do a move on the church, Satan always attacked the babies. Have you ever noticed that? Whenever Moses, God was going to send a deliverer, Moses, for them, what did Satan do? He said, we're going to go out, we're going to kill every baby. Every man baby that's going to do it, you kill those babies, because he had enough intellect to know there's a deliverer going to be born. And he would fight, he said, you kill every single one. But God was mindful of his chosen one. God made it, provided way for him, and said, you're going to put him on an ark. You're going to put him on something that looks absolutely impossible. You put him inside this little ark, he'll go through the alligators, he'll go wherever he needs to, because that was God's chosen man. You know, man would say, all right, well, the crocodile eats that one, we'll just get another one. God ain't that way. God said, I chose him before the foundation of the world. He's my man. He's the one I've chosen, and I'm going to make sure that he makes it all the way to the finish line of where he's going to be. God chose him. Satan was trying to kill the baby to stop the movement. I want you to catch what I'm trying to say here. Every name in that book will be manifest. Christ is going to intercede for that name. It looked absolutely impossible for Moses to get to where he was going at. It wasn't Moses that built the ark. It wasn't Moses that provided his way for it. It was God. And the same way with us, it's not us that's going to make this way for our rapture. It's God. God's the one that's going to make the way for your rapture. God's the one that did the calling on you. It wasn't you, it was God. God provided the way. And whenever God made it the destination, whenever Jesus was going to be born, what did he do? Kill the babies. Why? Because he was trying to stop a chosen one from being born. Because if he could stop the chosen one from being born, he thought he had it won. That's what I'm trying to get at. Satan thought he had it won whenever he killed the flesh of Jesus Christ. But he didn't realize that he just opened it up so God could redeem the Gentiles and the earth all at the same time while interceding. Satan tries to do it. God has a chosen one, and there ain't nobody can stop them from getting to their destination. We can look at Moses. Oh, of course, Brother Daniel, that's right. I can see that. We can look at Jesus, of course, Brother Daniel. I can see how God... What about you? You are just as important to get to your destination as it was for Moses to get to his. You are just as important to get to your destination as it was for Jesus Christ to get to his. You are important. God has made a provision for you in the same way that he made provisions for them, but you have to come God's provided way. If his mama was to try to say, you know what, we'll use this different ark, we'll do this, it never worked. But because she went God's provided way, God made it the same journey all the way to the top and gave him some blessings along the way. Blessings along the way. Well, how would you like to be one of the top men in Egypt? You imagine the kind of meals he got? You imagine the kind of room service he got? Chocolate milk. I started to say wine, but we don't drink wine. I want this. I want that. Think about that. As a son or daughter of God, he will lead you down paths where you are blessed beyond measure of anybody else. It had nothing to do with what you've done. During this crisis of the pandemic, whenever people are literally starving, trying to make things meet, starving to pay their bills, starving to do this, starving to do that. Let me ask you something. How have you needed in that? In the midst of the world going through a pandemic, how have your needs been met? I'd say pretty abundantly. Okay. Not a thing of anything that you've done in yourself. It's the grace of God. Right. Amen. God's grace. But you know what? Just having your needs met abundantly does not mean you're ready for a rapture.
Right.
I can tell you some men that their needs are met abundantly and their heart is so far away from God it ain't even funny. But we can have both. We can have the blessings and we can have the security of the rapture. Say amen. Amen. And only you know if you've really got that inside of you. In St. John chapter 1, verse 46, it says, and Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip said unto him, come and see. Jesus saw. Nathanael said to him, can there be anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and he said unto him, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no God. And Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said, before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending, ascending, and descending upon the Son of Man. This was the shepherd looking for his sheep. I want you to catch this. He saw him. He was looking at Philip and said, When did you see me? He said, Way over there. He wasn't even there, but he saw him. This was the shepherd in their midst. He was doing a discernment right in their midst. He said, When did you see me? He said, Whenever you were under the tree, I saw you. Now, I want to take you something 2,000 years later of a prophet standing right in front of them and say, I saw you. You're at such and such doctor place. There's a white coat. There's a woman sitting over here. There's this going on. I see this going on. You go by Bill, but your name's actually Greg. How did you know this? Because it was the shepherd, not Brother Branham. The spirit that was with Brother Branham on him, the angel of the Lord that was with him, was the same shepherd that was with Jesus when he said, Whenever you were under the fig tree, I saw you. That same manifestation, it was a shepherd in the midst of his church getting his people. What was he doing? He was getting his sheep. A lot of people heard the same voice, but they didn't have anything to respond. But he had something inside him that lodged that and said, You know what? I believe that. There's something inside him that caught the revelation. It was God getting his sheep together. And I'm here to tell you, what was God doing whenever he had a prophet on the earth doing the discernment? If you look at the scriptures, Jesus said the most religious people absolutely hated him. He said, You can't believe me, believe my works. This isn't me, this is God. It was to the point, people believed it so much, they started trying to baptize in Brother Branham's name. Started doing these things, but they missed it because he was not the shepherd. He was the friend of the shepherd. He was the people leading him. He was the Elias that was pointing them to the Word.
Right.
You know, whenever Eliezer went to go look for a bride, when Eliezer went to go look for him, let me tell you something. He didn't sweet talk to her about himself. He didn't try to get with Rebecca and say, Hey, Rebecca, you know what? As the days go, you know, they had a journey. They had to go a little journey to get there where going. And they get up in the morning. He said, You know what? I kind of like to have her for myself. See her in the morning, see her hair. You know what? She is a really pretty woman. I'd kind of like to have her for myself. He never did that. He was a faithful steward. He was a faithful man that the only things he told her about, he talked about Isaac.
That's right.
The whole way of the journey, he didn't try to, you know, stand and make himself look like elegant to catch her eye. He never did that. He pointed every bit to Isaac. The whole journey pointed him back to the Word, back to the Word, back to the Word. You must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't, you need to be rebaptized. Back to the Word. Your woman can't preach. You can't do that. It's against the Word. Back to the Word. Shouting, dancing, and living an adulterous life is not it. Back to the Word. Amen? The prophet come through there and bring of serpent seed. Of showing the true revelation. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Back to the Word. Back to the Word. Back to the Word. The whole journey, the only thing that prophet talked about was back to the Word.
Right.
It was to the point where one time Brother Branham was standing at going up to a window and the Lord spoke to him. He said, They got a trap set for you. He said, These preachers, they got a trap set for you. They're going to do this. They're going to try to get on. He said, If you're not, I'm going to be with you. Brother Branham went to that meeting. I want you to catch this. It was the leaders of the denomination churches you have around right now. It was their fathers, so to speak. Okay.
Right.
These men were there. Brother Branham went there, and they start bringing up the scriptures, the revelations that Brother Branham preaches of this message of the hour. He said, I want any of you to come up here right now with your Bible and show me where this is wrong. Show me where being barbarous, you're speaking in tongues, is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Show me these things. Show me how it's okay to baptize in tithes. Show me how to do these things, how that he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Show me these things. Not a single one of them would do it. And every one of them says, You know what, Brother Branham? Those things are absolutely the truth. As a matter of fact, we want to be baptized by you. We want to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. and then come to the service, not one single one of them showed up. They confessed with their own mouth, this is right. Now away from it, using their commandments and doctrines of men, looking at their creeds, they say, oh, that's wrong. It don't matter how a woman dressed, it's okay for her to wear pants. Get off them women. It's okay for a woman to put a little bit of makeup on her face. It's okay. Get off of them, Brother Brown. Why don't you get off the women so much and the way they're doing? Why don't you just teach the deeper things? He said, how in the world can I teach you deeper things whenever they don't even know their ABCs yet? They wanted to just show us the great things. He said, no, you've got to get these things right before I can do that. And I'm here to tell you, we're talking about a bride that's worldwide. There's little things you've got to get right. And you can try to bypass that altar all you want to. Sometime, at some moment, if your name's in that book, you're going to have to come back to the altar and make that right. I'm talking about the one that Abraham had. Full obedience to the word of God. $10 to the token. I say that because that was the fathers of the message, fathers of the denominational churches, and they carried that message right on down to their sons and their daughters, their whores. Forgive my harsh language, but it's up to the truth of the whore churches. What is it that made it a whore church? It's because they were holding a creed that's different than the word.
Right.
And if it's different than the word, it's false worship. Right. And listen to what I'm saying. Catch this. If the revelation that we claim to have of this message is different than the original, we too are worshiping a fake God.
Right.
And it is false worship. Our revelation, if you were to take an image of my hand and I was to walk up closer to that wall, I could do, yeah, some people that can do all kinds of things with their hands. And I've seen them make ducks and different things like that. You can make it look. But if I was to take my hand and put it close to that wall, the closer I get to it, the more that image should look like this hand. Now, further away, I'm a long ways away. Obviously, it makes sense. Daniel, you're too far away from the wall. That's why the image doesn't look like the hand. But I'm here to tell you, listen to what I'm saying. The closer we get to it, that image should be looking like this hand. And we've had the message. And our life is presenting an image. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, our life should be looking like this hand. It should be looking like this word. If it was wrong when Brother Brennan preached it, it's still wrong. If it was the way when Brother Brennan preached it, it's still right. This way, I remember Brother Brennan talking to Billy Paul. He said, Billy, I'm going to show you something. This way you can always know it. If you're going left, you'll always be going left. If you're going right, you'll always go right. If you're going right according to this word, you'll always be right. But if you're going wrong and you know what's wrong, what you're doing, and you keep doing it, and you're going left, you can try to bypass it all you want to and say, I'm not going to mess with it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to bypass it. I ain't going to do it. Listen to me. If it's still there in your heart, and you know yourself, if the Lord's burning in your heart, and you bypass it, and you try to go around it, and you say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. But you feel like you're stuck, and you want God to take you further. God will never take you further until you make that and get back with the word. And once you get back with the word, don't ever leave it ever again. I preached a message a while back about people being, we don't want to find ourselves being conformed to the message. Being conformed to the message is where your life looks like a message believer. Where your actions act like a message believer. I know how to present myself like a message believer. But you know in your heart, inside here, if this inside here is matching the word, is matching it, because it's your desire. Two things, as I said earlier, two things. Some people still got the snake in their heart, and the other people don't feed on the word. You got to feed on it. You got to eat it. You got to eat the word. So, Brother David, this sounds like ABC. I know. I wish people would do it. ABCs. eat the word, catching the revelation. It was so deceiving to the devil whenever he tricked the devil so bad because he thought he had Satan whipped whenever he killed Jesus, the flesh of Jesus, they crucified him. He thought he had it won, but he wasn't looking what God was looking at. And Satan will think he's got you won because he'll put you through trials to where you feel like you're just going to absolutely die. I can't get by. I'm sinking. I cannot make it. Satan, from his stance, is going to look at it and say, I've got it won. They're defeated. Then they're mine. They're defeated. I've defeated them. But he doesn't see behind the scenes in the midst of your trials. And, oh God, I know this truth is right. I know this word is right. And in your heart, you're saying, God, I believe this word. Oh Lord, help, I believe. Help my unbelief. From Satan's point of view, you look like you're absolutely defeated. But from God's point of view, God knows your heart. If you truly in your heart want this word. You see, he wants someone that loves the truth, that loves him. It's a relationship with God. If you love the world, the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. Your desires, your hunger, it manifests what you've got going on. I'm going to talk about when you just come to church. I'm talking about Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, where you are soaring higher and higher and higher and higher because you're walking with this word. Because that's what's going to make us where we start to look like that name. When God changes the nature, but you've got to eat. Amen. You've got to eat. You can tell what someone's been feeding on by talking to them. You can sure tell when someone's been praying by talking to them. Say amen. Amen. I know I need to pray more. I need to eat more. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go to St. John chapter 10, verse 24. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. The shepherd was gathering his elect. The sheep, whenever Jesus was preaching to this, he was gathering the elect. When this message is going forth, God is gathering the elect. You say amen? God, that's what God is doing. And we're just waiting for that last name to come manifest. And we won't be much longer. Just a little bit longer. Man will never figure God out by science. God, and he'll never figure God out through intellects.
Right.
It will always be by faith. It's by faith I know I'm saved. It's by faith I know I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's by faith I know that my name's written in that bag. It is by faith. But man has a tendency, he wants to come to a point where he don't have to have faith anymore. In the hour that we need more faith than we've ever had. St. Matthew chapter 15, verse 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy unto you, saying, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of man. And this is the this is St. John chapter 3, verse 19. And I'll just read through these. And this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men love darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to light, lest their deeds be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. In more scripture, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's walking in the light. You can't be in it. And forgive me for my denominational brethren that maybe listen to this, but it's the truth. If you're trying to sit under a teaching that's full not the truth, whenever the prophet made it clear that God has never been a party denomination. Anytime they denominated, they died. Always. You can't, if you feel it inside that, well, you believe I'm people that will still go to denominational church even though there's nothing there. But they'll still go and they think they're under the blood. There's not. But just as sure as them sitting under that and they're not under the blood, if we are walking and we're saying, you know, I'm not going to walk in this truth. I'm just going to stand here. I'm going to be right where I'm at. You've got to walk in the light. Walking by revelation, walking in the Spirit, walking with God, and God will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You see, man? It's walking with the Spirit, walking in this Word, walking in the light. I've got one more quote, and we'll be done. He says, every born-again believer, true believer, is perfectly, absolutely sinless before God. He is not trusting in his works, in the blood of Jesus. That is his confession dropped into. The Bible said so. See, he is born of God. He that's born of God does not commit sin, for he cannot sin. How can you make a man a sinner when a bleach of the blood of Jesus Christ is between him and God? That would scatter sin till there be nothing left of it. See, how can that pure blood of Christ ever let a sin pass by? And there's actually one more quote. He says, see, now that's the elect, and when the sound come, the bridegroom cometh, and every one of those that slept down through those ages awaken every one. See, it isn't God, and we would think just going to hunt him out a few thousand people of this age and take them. It's the very elect out of every age. That's the reason Christ has to stay on the mediatorial seat back there as an intercessor. But until that last one comes in the last age, and these revelations then, and what it has been, breaks forth upon the people, and they see what's happened. You see it now. It's the elect of God. Let's all stand. God has an elect out of every age that God has sent the seven spirits out. And you got to be under that spirit. You got to be under that anointing. And walking in that anointing, and God, may it be that our heart is not even so much the life so much, the outside, but the heart. Match what this word is. Because when you get the word, the heart right, this will come automatically. But you've got to get the heart right. Or from your heart, I hunger for God. I'm thirsting after God. But if our heart is caught up in what the world is, it's going to be, I want the next movie that's coming out. I want this next game that's going out. I want this next song that's going out. I want this that's going. I want the newest one that's going out. Our heart should be far from those things.
Right.
Our heart should be on nothing. I want the presence of God. I am looking for the presence of God. You know, Nathaniel, they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for him. Enoch was looking for God. But if we're not careful, we'll find in this flesh, man, you will be looking for the world. You're looking for the next movie to come. You're looking for this to come out. It's understandable for them out there to be doing that, but when you're the bride sitting under the message of the hour, our desires should be different. Our hunger should be different. Because whenever you're walking by the hunger of this word, I'm telling you, friend, it will make you walk different. But the problem is, Brother Brown said it in his day, it's the same thing today. You can't tell no difference between the church and the world. Mm-hmm. And Satan will try to do that same thing today when you're better than that. Mm-hmm. God has called you from that, and you're more for that. And I'm here to tell you, listen to what I'm saying. He's going to stay there. He's going to intercede until you make it right. But like I said, he'll drag you through it and not pull backwards if he got you.
Amen.
But I want him easy.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
We all know we're on our own now. Let's just bow our heads for just a moment, if you don't mind. We know in ourselves, in our hearts, of what your hunger is, what your desire is. Because there's an altar. Many times a person bypassed where the Lord told you, you go do this and you make this right, and you'll say, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make that right. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm doing it. But then a few days later, you say, you know what? It probably don't matter. it's probably okay. And you bypass that and think you're just going to keep going on, you'll never make it any further until you go right back to there and do what God told you to do in the first place. I'm just going to ask you, with every head bowed, please humble yourself before the Lord this morning. Don't look for feelings or emotions. But listen to what this word has said today. Are you walking according to your name? Because the names are manifesting. Let me ask you something. Is your name manifesting? Is your name manifesting the word? If you got something that it's there, but you know you got to make it right. With every head bowed, don't be looking around nobody else. I'm going to ask you. Is there something there you've got to go back and make it right? Why don't you lift your hand up to the Lord and say, Lord, I've got this. And I'm tired of trying to go forward whenever I've got to make this right. God sees your hand. Now, we're going to pray, but it's got to be more than just praying, brother and sister. You've got to do it. You've got to be the one that makes that right. Because when you move those things out of the way, you're going to get the benefits of it, of a restored relationship with the Lord. Every head bowed. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. God sees your hands. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we want to thank you for your grace that you put in our life, Lord. I love my friends, Lord. And Lord God, I've seen that in my own life, Lord, where you would tell me to do something and I'd have it on my heart. So you know what? I'm doing it. I'm getting this taken care of. And then just as sure as anything, I'd let my flesh talk me out of it and say, you know what? It really don't matter. But Lord, I've also known what it's like to get that thing out, Lord. And make it right. And see you continue to speak to me just like you used to, God. Lord, you see the hands that went up across this building. I ask you, Lord, would you touch them in your own way, Lord? But Lord God, not go beyond just touching their flesh, God, but may they make the change, God. Help us, Lord, to feed on your word. Help us to manifest what we're called to manifest. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Yes, musicians, come forth. Don't mind, let's play that song, Create in Me a Clean Heart.
Oh, God.
your flesh, man, Scripture says flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of God. In your heart, God will change you. Absolutely. Create you in a clean heart. God will do these things. Let me show you something. Even after you get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, if you keep putting your flesh towards something bad, your flesh will desire it.
That's right.
It will. If you keep putting your flesh out there in the right, in the same perversion, the flesh will want it. And the devil will work with your mind and say, well, I must not have the Holy Ghost because I've got this. Because there's a difference. Because Jesus said, if you love the world or the things of the world, the love of God's not even in you. And then the devil can work with you. The devil will use the word on you. And he'll say, well, the scripture says that. You have the love of the world. You're doing that. It's because you keep putting the flesh. If you put the flesh, keep putting it there. Keep putting it there. Keep putting it there. Your flesh will want those things. But inside you, you'll be sick to death. You say, I don't want these things. I wish I could get the Holy Ghost. And the whole time you got it, but you starved it. That's right. And that's what I'm getting at, is you've got to have your eyes on nothing other. My intercessor, Jesus Christ, is interceding for my name. He is interceding for me. He is fighting for me. He is pulling for me. And if you could just look beyond the veil, look beyond that other side, you'd see all the believers down seven church ages. They're saying, you've got this. You keep pushing. You keep pulling. You keep your eyes on the Word, because we can't be perfect until you are made perfect. We can't go in this full climax of redemption until you get to your full position as a child of God. God's going to get you there. That's right. God's going to take you there. God has not lost you. God knows exactly where you are. He's interceding with you. God is pleading your case. Amen. So remember, keep your eyes on the Word. That's where the tell you to come.
To encourage you and tell you that what you need in your
is not going to come from some dynamic speaker that we come in here and have with special meetings. You're not going to go to some camp somewhere. It's not going to come that way. It's going to come from the word that you hear week in and week out right here. Not to say that you can't hear word from somewhere else, but don't miss it. Because I know how the Lord deals with my heart. I know how he deals with Brother Daniel's heart. I'm going to tell you, God speaks. God knows how to speak. And he does speak. When Brother Daniel was ending the service back here, this came to my mind. You know, there are sicknesses and things that people get in their bodies that they need certain things to take place to help fix it. Cancer's, you know, a major thing. It's known that things that need to go into your cells and your body to help you get over certain things, they have a certain keyway, so to speak, a certain way that they fit. Almost think of it as a certain geometric shape or whatever that it can get in that cell. And it just so happens that some of these things that you need to get in there, the same keyway, same hole, same shape that sugar uses. And we all know that sugar is a big, big thing about cancer. Cancer feeds on it. That's the way they find it. They stick the stuff in you that's radioactive, that's sugar, because the cancer just sucks it all in, and they can find hot spots in your body with extra radiation because that cancer has taken all that in. And they know that sugar is actually, it's deadly for you.
That's right.
It really is. But my point is that the sugar has this same thing that can speak to that cell and get inside that cell and manifest itself and do what it wants to do to tear you down. And yet the thing that you actually need uses the same keyhole.
Yeah.
And the thing that they say is that here it is that as long as sugar's present, it wins. As long as it's there, it's the thing that gets to go in. You got to take that out. And then the thing that's present there, the thing that you need, then it can make its way in. You follow me?
That's right.
See? But it's your choice of what you do with your time and what you let be the thing that leads you and guides you and spends all your time with what you feed on. We all know that we should separate from the world. You say, Brother Tony, how much? You separate from the things of the world until that Holy Ghost in you is satisfied that you cut the ties that need to be tied. That need to not be tied. Need to be loosed. That's how much you do it. But listen, don't wait until when you look out in the newspapers or you look out on the horizon physically and you see the time and you realize, I got to do this. It's too late then. Don't wait till the physical manifests it. Because they're a day late and a dollar shorter, so to speak. It's what the Holy Spirit says today.
Yes.
That's the thing that matters. And that's what you want to follow, and that's what you want to let speak to you. And don't wait till everything else. It just breaks our hearts, ministers especially. We have young people we've seen in the message, and they leave it. And they act like they can go out and just walk away from the word and act like it's not going to matter. They act like it's not going to tally up and come back in a bad way to them. But I want to ask you, those of you here, those of you listening, go in your mind to some of those that have walked away from this word. And I ask you, where are they at today? If this message is wrong, why did they do exactly what the message said would happen in their lives if they walked away from it?
That's right.
How is it they went right straight to immoral living, right straight to the things the world has for them when they walked away from the word?
Right.
And if it did that to them, you know what? They didn't think it was going to be a big deal to them, but look where they're at now. Because it will cost. And I'm saying that to you because I know the devil comes at you and wants you to compromise. If you walk away from what God has spoke to you, it will cost you. Not to say that you be lost so much, but you'll pay a heavy price between you and God, whether your name will have to be on that book to be there. And so, if you want more of God, where are you going to find it? Where are you going to find more of God? Are you going to find it off running around with whatever, with your buddies and doing this and doing that? Or are you going to find him in the source that he gave? You're not going to find him somewhere else. Then why spend so much time looking elsewhere if you know you're not going to find him out there? You can post scriptures on Facebook, but you're not going to find God out there on Facebook for the most part.
That's right.
Right? Not when he's got a church and a ministry and a message and a word and a Bible and anointed men that are to bring that to you. That's where you're going to get it. But that's the thing that Satan's going to want you to, it's just Brother Daniel, just Brother Tony, it's just Brother Branham. Yeah, it's just Jesus Christ, right? Just the Word. That's all it is. It's just the Word that created the whole entire universe. That's all it is. And that's the attitude that will say, it'll make you think about the Word and about everything that God has put here for you. He'll make you minimize that out to be nothing and miss your day, your opportunity. Listen to Eliezer. He's taking it to Isaac. Listen to him. He'll tell you everything you need to know about Isaac so that you're ready when it's time to meet Isaac. Listen to him. My goodness, look at the suffering and the last thought that prophet had to go through. And we're just going to shirk it off just like it's nothing? A heavy price been paid. Like I said, my dad said to me, I don't understand why John the Baptist, why God didn't intervene. I said, Dad, we sing a song called It's Dripping with Blood. Because from the very beginning all the way to the end, this gospel, people die and suffer for this gospel because he suffered, we suffer. That's just the way it is, right? Brother Ram suffered. Tell me he didn't. Why did he suffer? Because that's part of this gospel.
Right.
That's what it's about. To suffer. That someone else could hear it. That someone else could step up and in their day have to suffer for this gospel. And that's the way it is. So listen to Eliezer. You know, we talk about Enoch and he walked with God, you know. The world lost its hold on Enoch.
Right.
It had to. For him, in order for him to go and be with God and walk and be raptured, that meant that this gravitational pull, whatever is in this flesh that's holding us back, and we still are sick by the very thing, somehow that left him and lost its hold and couldn't hold him any longer. Somehow, saints, between now and rapture morning, somehow this world is going to lose its hold on us. And I ask you, how's that going to be? Is it going to be going down the road you're going, that you've been going, the decisions you've been making contrary to the Word? Is that how it's going to happen? No, it's not. It's going to be because we get in line with what God has given to us. Enoch walked with God, and it was his daily walk that made that world lose hold of him. Brother Graham said to the bride, the rapture is a revelation. And guess what else he said? And she will be looking for that revelation. She will be looking for the revelation. If you're looking for that revelation, where are you looking for it at?
Right?
Where are you spending your time? What are you doing? What do you expect going to happen if you're not looking for the very thing God says he's sending to us? So I'll just end by saying this. It really is get back in line time. From the prophet's own, from the very vision that God gave him of an end time church, that they got out of step. They weren't lost, but they got out of step. And the prophet was crying to them at the end of his ministry, end of his days, crying, get back in line. So we all have to admit, we've gotten off the pathways in our lives in different ways. And it's that voice that's crying to us, get back in line. And you know what it was that they got out of sync with? Because they were looking to the that other church system, that worldly system. They were looking away from the prophet, away from the message. And I'll leave this with you as a challenge. If for some reason you go from here this day today and you make decisions contrary to this message, I will call you to remember it's down the road to look back and see if it's not so. And when you turn your back on this word, that's when it's from that time.
That's right.
Things go bad. We're living in the most tremendous. As I was talking to Brother Ben Norwright the other night, I said, Brother, we are in the final days of this bride message. We're at the end of the end. Because in case you haven't noticed it, that world out there has gone insane.
That's right.
And they've gone insane because they rejected something that God brought that you and I should be embracing right now. They've rejected it and they're paying the price. It's too late for them because there are souls that are in prison now.
That's right.
While Jesus was preaching to those souls in prison now, he was also preaching to some elect that got to go out in a rapture. And so we all have to realize, you know, yeah, these things mean we are this. But there's hope. Amen. To get back in line and get back to that word. I appreciate what Brother Daniel said. I would use different scriptures and different approach, but the same thing is for the same message. This is what God wants you to hear. I feel the Spirit, you know, crying out for the abominations that's been in the city. That's right. So may the Lord bless you. I know that you're going away. We're having the Lord spoke to you this morning, and I know that when you go out these doors, you'll either be closer. I don't say those things to be harsh, but I realize we come down to the final time, that it is this word or else. And you just got to say it the way you realize it is, the way you've seen it pan out through the years. We will go out of this doorway this morning, either this afternoon, either closer to God or further away from God, based upon your attitude. Worship. Don't be in a hurry. Stay until your heart is clean.